Turn with me in your Bible this morning to John's Gospel, chapter 10. While you're turning, let me tell you something that happened last evening. A young lady called. She said, "Mr. Gould, I need to speak with you. I haven't been able to sleep since I watched the terrible things that happened in New York and Washington at the beginning of the week. I'm having tremendous fears." I was able to talk with her and remind her that as a child of God, her daily life is a life of trusting the God of heaven. In a week when terrorist attacks have taken from us the security that we have not only enjoyed but taken for granted for so long, I want us this morning as we read John's Gospel chapter 10 to feel the absolute security that comes in the words of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Last Sunday morning in Sunday school, I spoke about total depravity. We have witnessed the depravity of human nature. But we haven't only witnessed it in the bombing, we have witnessed it in the effect of the bombing. Brother Jonathan reminded us this morning, it is the judgment of God. The question in my heart is not, has God spoken? The question in my heart is, has America heard? As America heard. I know the anger that has welled up within my own heart. We need to be sure that we are firmly grounded in the truth of God and absolutely sure in our relationship to Jesus Christ, that we really are built upon the rock that can never be moved. John's Gospel, chapter 10, and verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable or allegory spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. And know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Let's bow our hearts in prayer. Quieten us in your presence, O God. May the Word of God penetrate our thoughts and our emotions and our desires. Know that we might leave here today with a clear view of Jesus Christ and whom He is. Father, if there are any in this meeting who do not know the Savior for themselves, be merciful to them. Speak to them. Draw them to Christ, that they might be saved before it is eternally too late. Bless us to this end, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I went into the office that I worked in one Monday morning, many years ago. There was an elderly man in the office, and we all had the opinion of this elderly man that nothing ever moved him. Jack was just the same Jack, no matter what happened round about. But this Monday morning, as I walked into the office, there was only one person in the office, and it was Jack, and I could hear crying. I walked over to Jack's office, and he was sitting behind the desk with his head on the desk, and the tears were flowing freely. I said, "Jack, what's wrong?" And he pushed a newspaper across the desk. In front of the newspaper, there was a story of a young man who had been killed in a climbing accident in Wales. I said to him, "Jack, is he related to you?" He said, "No." He said, "He's a young man with three young children. And on Friday afternoon, he sat in my office, and I pleaded with him to sign the papers for an insurance policy. And he left my office and he said, 'No, I'll think about it over the weekend. I'll call you on Monday.'" Jack looked up at me and he said, "Joe, can you imagine what his wife and children are going to go through with no life insurance?" I wonder how many people stopped this week to realize that what happened in New York and Washington was the opening of a door. It was a door not to financial difficulty. It was the opening of a door to eternity. I sat the other day and imagined people who were Christians who had been witnessing to unsaved friends who worked in those buildings. And there may have been some who said concerning the gospel, what this young man had said to Jack concerning a life insurance policy. Let me think about it. Give me more time. We're going to spend today in John's Gospel, chapter 10. And my prayer is that today we will see a clear picture of the door to eternity. Not of death, but of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not a door to hopelessness and suffering and pain, but a door to life and joy and glory. You see, Jesus says in John's Gospel, chapter 10 and verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The memorial service, as I look back on it, has been a source of great pain to me. If John's Gospel, chapter 10, is true, then the memorial service had only a message of sorrow and not a message of hope. There was a black preacher there, and I didn't hear all of it, but I heard the words of the man from the Federation of Islam. And he had nothing to say. I heard the Jewish rabbi, and he had nothing to say. The black preacher, one of the only ones who prayed in the name of Jesus Christ, said, and we bring our petitions to you in the name of Jesus, who is the Christ. Beloved, it will not do this nation any good to embrace all the faiths of the earth if they do it at the cost of rejecting the truth of John's Gospel, chapter 10 and verse 9. Jesus said, not the president, and I thank God for the man that we have in the White House, and for the standards that he has set. But Jesus said, I am the door. I want you to understand that this is a single door. I alone am the door, is exactly what Jesus was saying. Billy Graham, and we talked about it this morning, we're surprised that he didn't come under criticism when he made the statement that some of those who have gone out into eternity have gone to heaven. We would love to believe that they had all gone to heaven, wouldn't we? But it's not true. We would love to believe that the only people who went to hell were the terrorists. That for them, death was a door into everlasting punishment. But it's not true. Because you see, there's only one door that leads to life. There's only one door that leads to eternal life. There's only one door that leads to salvation. To whom are the words of Jesus addressed? Well, first of all, they're addressed to Israel. Do you remember what they said at the cross or just before the cross? Of this one who's speaking in John 10? They said, crucify him. His blood be upon us and upon our children. Beloved, they say the same today. They don't want Christ, the only door to heaven. You remember the woman who came to Jesus and she pleaded with him. Read about it in Matthew chapter 15. Jesus turned to the woman and said, I am sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I love the nation of Israel passionately, for they are God's earthly people, a people of God's choice and God's blessing. But they reject the door. Because they reject Christ. And their message is still the same. We will not have this man to rule over us. And Jesus is speaking to the nation of Israel. And he's saying to the nation of Israel, there is only one door. And I am the door. So that they will be clear as to who he is. In those words, I am the door, he takes the name Jehovah. And he says, I, Jehovah, I am. I am the door. But you know, these words aren't only spoken to Israel. They're spoken to all. For Jesus says in verse 16, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Oh my, I'm so glad Jesus said that, you know. Because I would have had no hope. You would have had no hope. Were it not for the truth of those words. He says, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. Them also I must bring. Oh, I love that. I love the absolute authority and the absolute certainty that Jesus speaks with. He doesn't say, I might bring. And he certainly doesn't say, I wish that they come. He says, I must bring. And then he declares the divine purpose, the purpose of his coming. He says, and there shall be one flock. There is only one flock. And there shall be one shepherd. And thank God there is only one shepherd. You see, Jesus is dealing with eternal reality. My heart breaks when I think of the families that have lost husbands and wives, mothers and fathers, children, uncles, aunts, grandparents. the emptiness and the pain that they will suffer in the days that lie ahead. My heart breaks when I think of men and women who left their homes to go to work on Tuesday morning, and they've gone out into eternity. Some will have gone to heaven. Some will have been sent out into eternity to suffer without Christ and without hope forever. I want you to notice who the sheep are. I confess to you that before I looked at this study, I had never really taken into understanding the fact that there are two sets of sheep here. One is the world, and one is the believer. There are the sheep that Jesus looks at and he says, "My sheep. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." But there were within Israel, and there are within Gentile nations, those who are not the sheep of the shepherd. As I said last Sunday morning, I spoke on the depravity of the human heart. I heard a rabbi, and he said, maybe people will understand what it means to be a Jew. What was he saying? He's saying these things have been happening to us for years and nobody cared. It's true. I remember one night in my home in Belfast, Northern Ireland, turning the radio on and going over to the police messages. The announcement came that there'd been a bomb placed in the Belfast bus station. All police and ambulance men and firemen were called to duty. And the last caption was this: "Bring plastic bags, body parts are everywhere." I heard a man just before we drove in this morning saying, maybe when these things happen in the future in other places, we will not look at them so coldly and so dispassionately. Every man and every woman and every child in this meeting has an eternal destiny, just the same as every man and every woman and every child in those buildings and on those planes has an eternal destiny. Jesus told us some things about himself. He said, "I am the door. I am." What does that mean? It means that only those who enter through Christ will be saved. Well, you say, "Preacher, what about all the others?" And Jesus says, "He that entereth by the door, he that climbeth up some other way is a thief and a robber." You say, "Preacher, that's hard." Well, if it is, it wasn't me that said it. It was Jesus that said it. And he says it to you and I this morning. I alone am the door. There is no other way. There is no other entrance to the kingdom of God. There is no other entrance to a living relationship with Christ. There is no other entrance to heaven but through Jesus Christ. I talked to a man on Thursday, and he spoke dispassionately, writing off the things that Jesus said. And I said to him, you know, there's something you need to face about Jesus. Oh, he said, a lot of the things that Jesus said, I agree with. I looked at him and I said, sir, he was either the greatest liar and deceiver, or he is the Son of God, and every word that he speaks is true. That's truth. If Jesus, in your estimation, is a liar and a deceiver, then there may well be other doors. Islam and Judaism and all the religions of the world may have something to offer. But if Jesus is the Son of God, and he is, there is one door. And one door only. Look at what he says. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. Think carefully about what Jesus said, because there's a great truth in it. He says, without me, they're dead. I am come that they might have life. Without me, they are dead, as the book of Ephesians tells us, dead in trespasses and sins. But I am come that they might have life. You know, there are three things said about life in this chapter. First of all, that without Christ, we don't have it. And he came to bring it. Second one is found in verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. For my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Jesus says, I've come to give them life. I've come to give them eternal life. Eternal life. The man that I talked to on Thursday, I walked into my office. I picked up my Bible from my desk and I walked out. I said, I want you to read one verse. Oh, he said, preacher, I don't want you preaching. I said, just one verse. Turned over to 1 John. And it says, these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that ye may know that ye have eternal life. I said, now listen. Do you know that you have eternal life? He said, no, I don't. I said, well, forgetting all the other arguments, everything else that you can't understand, the most important thing in your life ought to be to get to that place where you can say with John, the purpose of the Word of God has been fulfilled in my life. I know that I have eternal life. Where did you get it? I give unto them eternal life. I didn't work for it. I didn't earn it. I didn't do anything. Jesus gave me eternal life. But then in John 10:10, he says, and that they might have it more abundantly. Maybe we'll touch on that this evening, the fact that we who are saved, we who have life, we who have eternal life, ought to be a challenge to men and women round about us, because they see the abundance of life that Jesus gives. One of our sisters emailed me and talked to me about the rapture. Sent a quick email back and I said, if you're going to study the last things, remember this. The Apostle John, in 1 John chapter 3, he talks of not knowing yet what we shall be, but when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And then what does he say? He that hath this hope within him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. The Apostle Peter, he writes, and he talks about the world as we know it being destroyed by fire. And what does he say? What manner of persons, therefore, ought we to be in all holy conversation? Child of God, what did God say to you on Tuesday through the happenings that took place? What was the challenge to your heart, to your soul, from the throne of heaven? If you have life, if you have abundant life, if you have eternal life, Jesus says, I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Are you living a saved life? Are you living as one who have been lifted from the depravity of sin and iniquity? Are you living as one who has been washed in the blood of the Lamb of God, made part of the family of God, secure for all eternity? There's a beautiful play on words in verse 9. It says, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. What do the words in and out mean? Well, they mean that he accepts them. And he brings to them a perfect freedom from fear and from alarm and from harm and from danger eternally. Tell me, do you enjoy that perfect freedom? You know, the hymn writer was writing about that awful place called hell. And he says, the fire and the brimstone, mine eyes shall never see. Why? It is enough that Jesus died. And that he died for me. Tell me, have you got the liberty of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Have you got the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ shining in your heart? Shining through your life? Then he says, they shall go in and out and find pasture. It doesn't say find a pasture. It says find pasture. You see, he's speaking as the shepherd who's going to provide for his sheep, and the sheep have a testimony, I shall not want. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. What pasture does he give? He gives us the sustaining power of His grace. I love the words of Peter when he says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Why, there's a strength that all the explosions of earth can never shake. The eternal purposes of God in Christ. Not only are we kept by the power of God, we're built up by feeding upon the Word of God. You know, the one thing that comes out of all this is maybe that we see just how ignorant of what the Bible says men and women are. But they don't know what God says. And they don't want to know what God says. And we're secured in a living relationship with Jesus Christ. Is that what being saved means to you? That you have found pasture from which you will never need to stray. That this world holds nothing for you. That Jesus has given you all that you could ever desire. That's what the words mean. He shall be saved. The psalmist says, abundantly satisfied with the goodness of God. Let me ask you a question as I close. I said there were two types of sheep described in John 10. There are those that are Christ's, and there are those that are not. Are you one of Christ's sheep this morning? Are these things the truth of God in your life? Let me read to you 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 25. This is the experience of those who are saved. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. I once was a sheep going astray. I once was a stranger to grace and to God. I once wanted nothing to do with Jesus, the Son of God. But now, returned to the shepherd. Whose sheep are you this morning? Are you one of those ones who can say, Jesus purchased me with His blood? I'm His this morning. And thank God, He is mine. The believing children of God, of all Americans, are the only ones who really have hope. Who really have hope. For we have hope in Christ. The only door. The only door. Let's bow our hearts in prayer. Father, you know the hearts of all those who are bowed in your presence. You know those who are your own, purchased by the blood of your Son. We thank you for every one of them. We pray that you would make these things so real to us in the days that we live, that men and women might see in us the wonderful things that you have done for us. But Father, if there are those in this meeting today who do not know the Savior, oh, we pray that before it's too late, they may be saved. We pray that by your Spirit you would work upon their hearts, that today they might know that they do not belong to this great shepherd of the sheep. Today they might return, repent, that by your Spirit you would bring them to Christ. Part us now with your blessing. Comfort us as a people. Comfort us as a nation. Grant, O God, that in all of this we may hear your voice, and that we may respond to do that which is pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name, Amen.